At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Live in Phoenix, Arizona, site of Super Bowl 57. We're on something called Radio Row. I'll describe it momentarily. First, I want to tell you we're at the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. This is Super Week. So Radio Row is essentially everybody in the audio world, right? The audio world. We even have Annie Agar going to join us in the podcast. She, of course, of TikTok fame, weekly college football and NFL updates. So she's here. You got the podcast type. You got the radio types. You got the satellite radio types. Anybody who does anything in the audio world is here. And then we are a stopping point for many of the stars of Hollywood, of the NFL, sometimes NBA. Obviously not right now based upon the schedule, not an all-star break. Golfers. Civic leaders, you name it. For example, Debo Samuel is going to join us, right? He's 20 after in his first hour. Debo Samuel in 20 minutes. Rashad Jennings, okay, former NFL running back, he'll join us at 30 after the hour. Next hour, Saints linebacker Demario Davis. Next hour, Cardinals defensive back Buda Baker. Sean Alexander, former Seahawk, that's Dan Beyer favorite. Former MVP of the NFL. How is the MVP of the NFL? Come on, man. Anyway, Sean Alexander, 2005 NFL MVP. He'll be joining us. So they stop by. We chat for a little bit. Usually they pitch a product. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes we just tell them how great they are. And then they're on their way. That's Radio Row in a nutshell. Dan Beyer's here. By the way, we got a special moment upcoming for you on the podcast. Okay, it's called In the Bonus. It's part of it. It's live at the end of this show. So whether you're, two on the West Coast or five on the East Coast, or you can figure out the middle, you go to the iHeartRadio app. If you download the Doug Gottlieb Show, In the Bonus is the third hour. Steve Largent, Hall of Fame wide receiver, who before Jerry Rice, you could have said was the greatest wide receiver of all time, right? He'll join us. And of course, he was essentially the reason that you became a Seahawk fan back in the 80s in Wisconsin.
It wasn't the first time I met Steve Largent, and I told him as much when we got together. Of course, the guy that used to throw in the football, Dave Craig, Wisconsinite.
Who apparently lives in the area. Well, anyway, we'll catch up. That's in the bonus podcast. You don't want to miss it. Super Week on Fox Sports Radio is presented by Chalk, C-H-O-Q, the reigning champion for natural men's health. Supercharge your game with higher T, maximum energy, and laser focus. Visit chok.com to kick off your subscription today. That's chalk.com. Subscribe today. All right, last night, history was made. Don't believe me? Well, about 19,500 people have it on their cell phone that they say they were there and experienced and said they watched it through a cell phone. Like, this is just kind of note to everybody. The picture that Jason Stewart tweeted out where, like, the only guy in the arena not watching on his cell phone that wasn't playing in the game was Phil Knight, founder of Nike. We're all embarrassing ourselves. Put down the damn cell phone and actually watch it with your own eyes.
You know what we missed because of that?
What?
Everyone's arms going up in the air because they were already up in the air holding a camera. Like, I was waiting for when the ball went through the net, in the background, everyone's arms would jump, you know, go up, being excited. And, no, they were already up because they were like this. And you can't see it on the radio, but that's why they were up.
And look, this is me being honest. I'm just as bad as anybody else with the cell phone thing, right? I've really tried to put the cell phone down more and more. But when you're at a big sporting event, put the cell phone down. For the love of God, watch the game with your own two eyes. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. It's the worst snapshot of who we are as human beings in 2023. How LeBron's own kids are watching it through the cell phone. Like, dude, that's your dad. He's the old, like, remember it so that you can sit there and close your eyes and go, like I can, with all the sporting events that I've watched. It's awful. We are the worst. You remember the movie WALL-E? Remember the movie WALL-E? Anybody, you have kids? My kids are like 16 and 13 now.
WALL-E, right?
WALL-E, yep. Okay? WALL-E. It's like post-apocalyptic, a dystopian view on the world, you know, 50 years from now, where people have left Earth because they destroyed Earth, and they're up in these spaceships, right, which are like country club resorts, but they're basically in chairs, and everything is in front of them in their screen. They can order food and whatever, and they're all completely, like, useless. Can't even walk. That's who we are. It's an incredible snapshot of who we've become. Put the cell phone down and watch. He's in any argument for the greatest players of all time, the greatest careers of all time, and all you can say was, I was at the game. Look, there's a video of it. I was at the game with video of it. Or you know what you could do? You could take a picture or even a selfie before the game and then say, this is what it was like. I'm watching the game, and LeBron catches it at the right elbow. He goes one dribble left elbow, and he shoots a fadeaway like this, and he makes it. Right? That's what you – that's – oh, God, we're just – instead of passing down story after story after story, word of mouth, now it's, hey, man, check this out. I got video of the game that I was at.
That's what it's about. It's about me, Doug. It's not about LeBron. It's me having the video of LeBron that I can post on TikTok and Twitter.
I got a couple takeaways for you on LeBron, okay? And there's a lot of things that are special and unique about LeBron. And, you know, I still don't think he's the greatest player of all time. That's just a personal thing, like, Jordan felt like he could just make his team win. That's really it. Like, Jordan just felt, whereas, like, LeBron, and it's not his fault they lost, but it did feel like everybody just watched him play last night, and then, oh, yeah, by the way, they lose. He's won a lot of games. He's an incredible player. He has taken care of his body as well or better of it as anybody. Like, as Jordan took care of his body, but Jordan also smoked cigars, played a lot of golf, and you know, obviously likes to drink that brown drink, right? Like everybody knows. But Jordan did take care of himself, not to the level of LeBron. And LeBron's longevity and the fact that he's gotten hurt a couple of times, mostly minor things, is remarkable. Remarkable. Equally remarkable, the fact he's the all-time scoring leader. And I think if you had to label LeBron and what he does as a player, I don't think you would say score is what he does. Right? Like, Kevin Durant is a scorer. Michael Jordan was a scorer. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a scorer. LeBron, really much of his career, it's like a more athletically dominant version of Magic Johnson, who could score, but like setting up teammates. And one, because of some of it's how the game has changed. Two, of it's sheer force of will. Three, because honestly, you're probably better off making him score than allowing him to do what he wants to, which is create shots for everybody, including himself. He's now the all-time scoring leader. But the thing I haven't heard, and I'm just marvel at, is, you know, the hardest thing to do at times in life is to live up to expectations, especially ones that are just incredibly lofty. And everyone has a story about a kid they went to high school with who everybody said was going to be this next dude, or a guy who was in their high school league. Man, I thought he was going to be something. Then he flamed out. Now he's, you know, now he's working at whatever, Del Taco, Chick-fil-A, or whatever. Now he's a high school assistant coach, and man, that guy should have made it. And then those guys all have stories like, the coach screwed me, I got hurt, this teacher screwed up my grades, we moved, yeah, anything, you know, lots of things. LeBron James was billed as the chosen one, the next great player in the NBA. Similarly to Tiger Woods, and unlike Tiger Woods, hasn't had a whisper of issues off the floor, right, in terms of personal life. But like Tiger Woods, he has lived up to and, if possible, exceeded incredibly lofty expectations. Does anybody know how hard that is? Right? Pat Riley is famous for the disease of me. Right? The idea of the disease of me is when you win an NBA title, you think you were the reason that you won the NBA title. And everybody thinks that. And then everybody wants to get paid. Everybody wants fame. Everybody wants adulation. And it's why it's so hard to repeat as champions. Now, think about that just on the macro level. Think about the micro level of LeBron James. The idea of the disease of me. He's been told he's great since he's 16 years old. He's been told he's going to be one of the greatest of all time since he's 16 years old. And all he's done is keep getting better and better and better and better and living up to it. So, and it's crazy because if I don't say LeBron's the greatest of all time, somehow I'm a hater. But here I am sitting here telling you, I marvel at his ability to live up to and exceed those expectations while at the same time saying, like, hey, if it's me, I take Jordan. Right? That's not being a hater. That's just being true. But also giving respect to what he's been able to accomplish, how long he's been able to accomplish, how well he's been able to achieve what he's achieved. And then there's the Anthony Davis thing. You know, when I was in college, this is a real story, okay? So my junior year, I was in the doghouse with the late, great Eddie Sutton. I'd gotten a T in a home loss to Florida Atlantic, and despite 18 assists and what I thought was playing well, we lost to a team that won six games, and we were the number six ranked team in the country. The following game, we played UCLA, the only game in California, against my brother and sister's alma mater. In many ways, it was my dream school growing up as a kid. Duke, really, more than UCLA, but UCLA as well. And I got thrown out of the game at halftime because I got goaded into what was first an intentional foul and then became a technical foul with Baron Davis. So I was in the doghouse. I'll never forget this. We played Southeast Missouri State. And, again, we were a top 25 team, preseason top 10 team. And I'm barely playing. And because I'm barely playing, we're not that good. And this is not me telling you I'm superstar. But I was the only real point guard of the team. And we just worked better that way. So we're up like 6 points late in the game. And Adrian Peterson, who's the third all-time leading scorer at Oklahoma State, jumps up and knocks down a three right in front of the bench, and it really seals the game, and everybody stands up. Well, everybody except for one person, right? And I had only played 8 minutes in the game. Now, keep in mind that before I was in the doghouse, I was averaging, you know, 12 points and 12 assists, and I was a preseason all-everything, whatever. So I had a reason to be ticked. I had a reason to be in pout mode. The next day, we come into film, and instead of watching anything in the game, we just watched me sitting on the bench. That's it. Hey, guys, what do you see here? They all had the laser pointers out. Look at this selfish a-hole. Oh. He doesn't want to get up for his teammate when he won the game. Now we're going to go downstairs to the track underneath the gym, and everybody except him is going to run because he's selfish and all he cares about is himself. That's what I feel like for Anthony Davis. I don't know if he was sick. I don't know if he dove into the stands. He wasn't feeling it, or if he's still playing hurt. I don't care. Your teammate, the guy who told the Lakers to move mountains, trade away everything in the kitchen sink to get you, is becoming the all-time scoring leader. And here's what's weird. Not only did he not stand up when the basket was made, he wasn't on the bench until 30 seconds before that.
That's what I wondered, if he came out for it. And then with his reaction, I was like, I'm not sure he did.
So, I think there's probably something he wasn't feeling well or wasn't feeling right, and he was trying to grind through it. And maybe in many ways, the Lakers got caught up in trying to let LeBron have his moment. Okay, fine. But, man, optically, that's a bad look. Here's LeBron James addressing the crowd afterwards.
Everybody that's ever been a part of this run with me the last 20 years, 20-plus years, I just want to say I thank you so much, because I wouldn't be me without y'all. All y'all help, all y'all passion, all y'all sacrifices helped me get to this point. And to the NBA, to Adam Silver, to the late, great David Stern, I thank you guys so much for allowing me to be a part of something I've always dreamed about. And I would never, ever in a million years dreamt this even better than what it is tonight. So, man, thank you guys.
Was a good, was good, clean, honest speech. Didn't feel like it connected with the actual Laker organization.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deebo Samuel, wide receiver, running back, quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. They're all pro, joins us now on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Week and a half ago Sunday, you're in Philadelphia. What was that like when all your quarterbacks go down?
Man, it's just crazy. Just sit here and keep, you know what I'm saying, reflecting on it. Like, I never seen anything like it. I mean, and we knew how good our team is. We know what was at stake, and for Purdy to go down and then our backup, Josh, to go down, I mean, after that, it just took the fight out of us.
You know, it's interesting because Purdy, you couldn't necessarily tell it was the elbow and how bad it was. What about your guys' communication on the sideline? When he comes out, did you guys know how bad it was?
No, we didn't at first until we started seeing him try to throw the ball a little bit, and it was dying straight to the ground.
Crazy. Then Josh comes in, right? and obviously the fumbles didn't help. But then he's out in the second half. What was the locker room like at halftime?
We know we still had a chance. Josh had just got settled in, and Kyle made it easy for him at halftime for his play calling and what we was going to do, and you know we was going to keep it real simple. And then after that, you know. Two, three plays in, and he concussed, and we just like, God, like what do we do from here?
Just snake bit. For you personally, how would you characterize your year?
Besides the injuries, I've never been a self guy or worried about stats or worried about, you know, self goals or accomplishments as a single player. I'm big on team, very big on team. So just reflecting on that, kind of after Brandon Ayuk caught his ball for his 1,000 yards receiving, I just went over there, went crazy with him. You know, it's not all about stats. It's about, you know what I'm saying, getting to this point that we're at right now. We just fell one short. So I just reflect and just look like, what more could I've done? Like, you know, at the end of the year, you just look and see and just think about what more could you have done. And I just left it all out there.
Last year in the offseason, there was all of the talk, obviously, about the contract. But the narrative, because we didn't hear from you, the narrative was, well, he only wants to be a wide receiver. He doesn't want – but – like they everywhere they use you, you're really good.
Right.
So how do you want to be used? If somebody's asked you, like, hey, truth be told, how do you, next 10 years of your career, how do you want to play?
However the coaches need me to play.
All right. So it doesn't matter.
No, not at all.
That it's more about I want to get paid like those guys.
More about I want to win.
Yeah. And now it's like I want to win. So what about the quarterback? Brock, I don't know how you feel like you can come back from that. You guys still have Trey. If they were to pull the locker room or to pull you and say, what do we do at quarterback, what would you suggest?
I wouldn't put too much input in it because at the end of the day, as our team is and how our team is, we trust everybody that's higher up. For as Kyle, John, Jed, York, of making the best decision for the team. So whichever guy they think will fit our team, they'll go after him. If he don't fit, you won't see anything about it.
Coolest part about your team, I think, is when Trent and you guys come out walking through the tunnel, right? Who's the one holding the speaker?
DJ Cray.
How did he get that gig?
It came about in 2019 when we played the Saints. Roddy Ricch had dropped the song The Box, and we was vibing with that year.
So who is the one who's like, this is what we should do?
So we start the season off like with a song, and if we lose, we change the song.
Right.
If we win, the song will stay the same until something bad happens.
So what was the good song this year that had you guys playing well at the end of the year?
It was Won't Step On Me by NBA Youngboy.
Okay, so now do you wait? Do you have one in your mind?
Nah, wait. You just wait. You ain't got one right now. You ain't even thinking about no music or walking out no tunnel right now.
You got to have one in your back pocket, though, for end of season next year. And because, right, that there's got to be something special for end of season, because last 2 years you're one interception away 2 years ago from going to the Super Bowl. This year you're a healthy quarterback away
right.
From going to the Super Bowl. Got to have one. All right, I got to ask you, Brandon Ayuk said, like, and if you listen to the totality of his comments, he wasn't disrespectful, right?
He said he ain't never disrespect. One thing I like about Brandon, he gonna speak his mind whether it don't matter how people feel about it.
Correct. Okay, but he said, like, look, we feel like we could expose them.
Right.
Can the Chiefs expose them, considering they got injuries at wide receiver, and they're not built maybe the way you guys are built?
Right. I think they got every chance to expose them, but you ain't going to be able to expose them if you can't block, if you can't take care of their pass rush. Because if you get back there on the back end, not throwing those shots or nothing at anybody, but that's the weakness of their team.
No question, right? Is that
they're protected by their pass rush.
Yes, yes. And then similarly, I think on offense – like, they're good outside the numbers, but really good up front with the offensive line. That's the construction of their team.
Right.
All right. Debo Samuel joining us. What are you doing with Wells Fargo?
So, we got a big game food report from Wells Fargo, you know, from the agriculture institution, which is the food, the price of food dropping, the prices of wings dropping. And so, around this time, you know, you like to throw big parties, so why not go get your wings, your meatballs, and all the other stuff. So that's kind of what we're doing here.
Okay, so when you're watching a game, and it's got to be weird for you to watch.
Cause I ain't watching it.
You're not watching?
No.
too hard, right? Because you should be there.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to be chilling until the game over. I know everybody's going to be tweeting, talking about it.
You're not going to watch Rihanna?
I'm going to be chilling, nah.
So like, because there'll be no traffic. You can go do whatever you want.
I'll be on the plane on the way to the house.
During the game?
Yeah.
Love that. Love that. Did you watch last year's game?
Nah.
So is it an every year thing? Or just because you guys are close and you feel like you should be there?
Just because we're so close and, you know, I get it.
No, I actually completely understand that. It's the hardest thing ever. Debo, man, I appreciate you joining us. Another great season. Continued health. Hopefully health for the entire Niners. That's all you guys need. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Ready. Thank you.
All right, Debo Samuel, join us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Rashad Jennings, former NFL running back, in 1 second.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Rashad Jennings joins us. And by the way, the show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save progressive.com. Rashad, how are you?
Man, I'm amazing. And I'm laughing. There's a lot to be said about the referee piece that you had just spared down. I'll be curious to wonder what he's looking at.
Well, I mean, like, look, if better than it's ever been means it had never been good, right? It was like, And maybe part of it is it's always been bad and that we do such a much better job of covering it with video that you can actually see how bad it is.
Right. And I would depending on the lens you're looking through. Right. If a ref watching boxing dictated his outcome based upon the crowd's oohs and ahs, he would never judge the boxing match appropriate. So I do kind of get. Just because the access to internet media exposing every single bad play, yeah, of course it seems loud, but that doesn't mean that it actually hasn't gotten better.
It's an interesting point from an interesting dude who you have this amazing post-career going for you. What's that like when you retire, right? 2017, you get cut by the Giants, and you retire.
Right.
But were you actually done in your own mind with your own body?
Physically, the exertion, I was still ready to actually physically play the game, probably for another 3 more years afterwards. I honestly could have at any point received the call and played. Right now, it would take me several months to even prepare to get ready type of thing. But no, I was still ready to play the game, but I'd retired mentally, though. I moved on. I was excited to start exploring my academic side that I went to school for. I was excited to explore all the opportunities that playing with the New York Giants, playing in the NFL, having that shield behind my name could fortitude me. And that led me into Dancing with the Stars, which led me into New York Times bestseller, which led me into acting, which a whole bunch of things. I'm kind of like just a kid in this world, and it's my Toys R Us.
Just a random question. Had you not played for the Giants, would the Dancing with the Stars thing have happened?
No. It's just that simple. And that's one of the reasons why strategically I chose to become a Giant in the latter years of my career when I knew I had more years behind me than in front of me. Why not go to one of the greatest franchises, a mecca media organization in the New York Giants? Because I knew I was never going to be a guy that wore a gold jacket. But I know my talents. I know my ambitions. My charisma could take me a long way. And nobody, if you can't see me, you can't think about me.
Sure.
Right? And so I knew New York would allow me to be kind of under a microscope.
What was it like? Because those are not the glory days of the Giants, right?
No.
Right? So on one hand, like having lived in New York, I could tell you that, and my late father was a lifelong Giants fan. Like in the pecking orders, Yankees, that's because the Yankees have been good, but Yankees and then Giants or Knicks and then kind of everybody else, right?
Of course.
But with that comes the, when things aren't going well, the negativity is multiplied again because there's I remember when they drafted Saquon and the whole thing was like, well, you should take a quarterback now because the Giants are never drafting in the top 10. They never draft, right? And then last couple years, and then they were. What was it like for you, a prideful guy who's like, and now you're in this mecca, and there's so much negativity surrounding you?
I handled it. I handled it appropriately. I understood that a responsibility of negativity is because of the players, right? We got to perform. And New York is just a you see what you see is what you get,
sure.
Right? When you perform well, they love you. When you perform bad, they just going to let you know you're performing bad. But we already know that, so we're on the same page. We apologize. We're going to get this thing right. I never took it as a negativity. I never took it personal because I understand what it means to be a fan of the game. It's not about you. It's about the ending outcome they want to see. And they deserve it in New York. And I'm happy to see they're on the right track now.
If I would have told you your freshman year at Pitt, that you'd be teaching dancing, what would you have said?
Man, I said, man, get out of here, bro. What the heck is wrong with you? Legitimately, I would have said something wrong with you. But here I am teaching ballroom dance and social dance today. It's crazy.
The If in Life is your New York Times bestseller.
Yes.
How long does that process take?
It took me start to finish probably about a good 4 months. I'd say 4 months. And I did mine audibly.
Talk to type?
Yeah, I spoke the whole book out and had my editors come through and make sure everything was right. But I didn't waste time behind the keyboard.
When you read it the first time, was it what you wanted it to be?
Yes, it really was. The If in Life is a play on words. When you spell out the word life, if is in the middle. And sure. I went through 15 chapters really exploiting how pivotal this little word is to the success and failures of our life. I could have looked at things with a different lens and been in a different position than I am. I'm fortunate enough I had people loving me and believing me before I knew who I was to take ownership over my own life. I had great guidance. My parents stayed together through thick and thin. My brothers beat my tail until I figured it out. I'm fortunate enough to have family that was close enough to give me a chance. That's it. For me, it's my job to honor them by the last name in the way that I operate today.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking about LeBron, and I said, you know, there's a lot of things that are impressive, right? How he takes care of himself. Never an off the court issue, right? In 20 years. And I can tell you, I still would prefer Jordan as a player, right? And I think Bird and Magic should belong in any conversation of the greatest of all time. But maybe the thing I marvel at the best is through all of this success. And look, there are definitely moments in which he's confident to the point of being arrogant, right? Like, I think we all are. But the ability to live up and exceed the expectations that were placed on him as a kid. Mm-hmm. I can't tell, like, how impressive that is. Like, he was the chosen one. Yeah, well, we say that about a lot of guys.
A lot.
And he comes out and he's as good or better than anyone could have ever thought possible. And I think what I'm hearing from you, and look, you had a much better foundation, right? You had brothers, you had two parents that supported you. He had his mom, but he was kind of that part to me, and I would guess to you as somebody who has succeeded so many times in life, has to be impressive.
No, absolutely. I marvel at his work ethic, and I often talk about and reference him and his work ethic to my nephews quite often. I don't even make the comparison between him and Jordan or whatever because I think it kind of retards the actual success and point of what he's doing in front of our eyes. Like, what he's been able to do of playing, the longevity, how he's taking care of his body, like you said, staying out of trouble, trying to do what's right. We're watching it. We watched a kid grow up. We're similar in the same age, right? So he's, what, 37, 38? I'm 37, about to be 38. So similarly, I'm imagining, right, like this is a relative growing in front of our eyes. I marvel over it. Really, sincerely, it's insane what he's been able to accomplish and still not even done yet, right? So I think just by comparing him to Jordan takes away the actual story that's in front of us because then we get in a debate, and debating makes you refute the opposite and opposing point of view. So let's remove the debate and just look at what he's been able to accomplish in front of us.
For you personally, right, you're getting married, you got a baby on the way, right? Like you are living, you are evolving. But professionally, what's next?
Professionally, many of the things, but one of the things I'm most proud of is starting a forum called After I Do. I've been wanting to do this probably since I was 24, 25. And it's about men coming together, talking about what happens after they say I do. Marriage is an important, pivotal conversation that I don't see in the mainstream talks. And I think that my respect from I studied psychology and sociology and got an honorary doctorate degree in humanities. And the reason why is I want to be a marriage counselor in the latter years of my life when I'm 50, 55 plus. And I wanted to start this show when I was about 25, but I had enough respect for the institution of marriage to wait until at least I'm engaged before I engage with this topic, because I knew nobody would take me serious. And so finally, I'm in a position in my life where I'm making the next step and I'm starting a forum where guys can talk about what happens after you say I do, because many conversations that could be had. How do you handle a situation in holidays and in-laws? How do you handle a situation with politics? Do they play a matter in the relationship, and how do you handle that? There's so many of these questions that a lot of kids in society don't have the answers to, right? But they run to YouTube to see, oh, who's a better athlete? They run to YouTube to see, oh, who's the better artist? Who sold the most music? There are kids right now that want to find, how do I handle this situation in my marriage? Let's give it to them.
Rashad Jennings, fascinating dude, former NFL running back. Of course, The If in Life is the book. You can pick it up Amazon, wherever, audiobooks. I'm sure that it's available there. And, of course, if you need help with your tango, he's available in the tri-state area. Congrats on all your success.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Buddha. There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baker's a special football player, man. What an absolute stud he is, and he's joining us. He's getting that headset on, and of course, his season was cut short by that shoulder injury. How is your shoulder doing?
Yes, shoulder's doing great. You know, it's completely healed.
Been working on it, getting the mobility back, strength. It's great.
Well, one of the interesting things is, you know, when you hurt that part of your body, like, you can still obviously, could you still condition when you were coming back from it? Could you still, like what were you able to do in terms of, on a daily basis, set aside from the shoulder rehab? Because you can't do anything, like, you're not doing, like, one arm upper body, are you? Like, what were you doing?
No. So that's the thing, you know. It was only 2 weeks left in the season, so it was a matter of really just resting it and, you know, just doing, try to do little mobility things. I could barely lift my arm up, so it had to heal. The bone had to heal, so definitely had to just kind of wait it out for a week, and then you get those little, doing those little mobility stuff, and then you can get to band workouts, and then now I'm on to dumbbells, so, you know, I'm just trying to get it stronger.
Buda Baker joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb. Not a lot to talk about with your team. Everything's status quo, can't hang a team. Nothing really to talk about.
Not at all.
What do you want to see happen with the team? Like, you're a leader. If Bidwell's to call you in and go, hey, man, what should we do? Got a GM now. What do you want to see happen?
I want to see us have a head coach. You know, we don't have a head coach. Therefore, we don't really have any type of foundation to go upon. You know, this is kind of my fourth rodeo in a sense. So, you know, I kind of know how it goes. Whole new coaching staff usually is how it works. But, you know, I'm just trying to, I would just say, can we get a head coach and figure out what we're going to do? You know, I don't even know what type of, you know,
type of head coach do you guys need?
Yeah, like I told them earlier, I just want a head coach that's real. And when I say real, a head coach that speaks who he is, however he is, whatever type of way it is, that's how he speaks, and that is how he approaches his team, and he approaches our team with specific values and foundations of learnings of, you know, what he wants this team to be and what he wants, you know, our mental aspects to be. How does he want us to approach the days and all those type of stuff? Because, you know, that's what you need as a head coach. You need those specific things. And, you know, when the season starts, how are we going to win these games? Not just our game plan of what we're going to, like, how we're going to play. How are we going to win this in this game? What do we have to do? Do we have to stop this team from rushing over 60 yards? Do we have to do this? What little specific intricate things that we need to do to win? And if he can do that each and every week, that gives, you know, guys more understanding and the want to understand, to learn, and want to win.
What's your relationship like with Kyler?
Kyler?
Yeah.
No, he's a good guy. You know, that's little bro right there, and, you know, a guy who's got injured. So, of course, I contact him every now and again, trying to see how he's doing, how the recovering process is doing. But a guy who's won all of his life, and he just wants to win. So, definitely a guy who's misunderstood, but just a guy who's, you know, very soft-spoken, very soft in his words, and a guy who just wants to win.
It feels like the difficult part to the Kyler challenge is that he's not going to be ready to play right away. I don't know what, you know, first year back from ACL, a lot of times guys are a little tentative anyway. But you have to set in place a plan for when he comes back, because he's going to be your quarterback. Then you got to find somebody who can hold it together and hopefully win. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, you got to figure out, like, what are you going to do with D-Hop? You're going to keep him. If you don't move him, do you lose the locker room because he's such a talented dude? Like, there's a lot to finding that guy. Am I presenting it in a fair fashion?
Exactly. You're presenting it in the perfect fashion of what it is. That's just how it is. You know, that's the facts of the story. And also the facts is we have, you know, 30-plus free agents. You know, we're trying to understand, you know, who's going to be on our team this year, you know, in this type of sense. So, just there's a lot of things that has to be done, and hopefully we can get those things done.
This year's like a book for it. I mean, like, look, you had Arians, then you had Wilkes for a minute.
One year.
And then, you know, you had Cliff. And you guys were steadily on the rise. Obviously, the Rams game didn't go well, but you also didn't have D-Hop. No one's going to play well when you don't have your best offensive player. But still, that didn't go well. And then, of course, this year with Hop being out to start the year, and then your injury, other injuries, it kind of came to a crashing end. But this year specifically, like, GM takes time away, you get hurt, Kyler gets hurt. What a crazy year for you. How do you get to the reset? How do you get to the mental reset to being your best and to believing in the program again?
Exactly. And like you said, that mental that mental reset is right now, that off-season time, that time where you get with your families, where you can recoup and rejuvenate and get healthy again with whoever that is. All those little specific things. And, you know, of course, you want to get that head coach. You want to know who's your head coach. You want to kind of know the little details of, you know, the team. You know, those that coach is very important to, you know, for a team to understand, you know, who we are, what we want to be. So just, you know, trying to figure those things out to get those things taken care of. Then, you know, guys can kind of start seeing the other side of the tunnel.
All right, are you a table tennis guy?
Of course.
What do you mean, of course? I don't know if, like, everybody is.
Yeah, I'm here doing for the Procter & Gamble Battle of the Paddles out here in Arizona tonight.
When did you first start playing ping pong?
Oh, man, I started playing when I was in the sixth grade. You know, I played
Bellevue, where?
Like, back in the day, Bellevue, playing with friends. Of course, I wasn't in a league of some sort, like Christian McCaffrey in high school.
He was in a ping pong league?
Yeah, he was in a high school ping pong league. I was like, what? Like, why are you even here? You should go somewhere and play ping pong over there, you know? But, yeah, I just played back with the boys back in the day and, you know, just been playing ever since.
Your spins are good?
Of course. Yeah. You guys will see. Tune in on Twitch's live stream, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You're going to watch Buda Baker and my own paddle I'm bringing from home because I live here, and I'm putting the stick on it. So you guys will see.
Yeah, of course, that's presented by Old Spice and P&G, Battle of the Paddles. Battle of the Paddles. So, wait, did you recently order your own paddle? Have you had your own paddle? Like, what does the paddle look like?
You know, I've had my own paddle for about 6 years now. I bought a ping pong table about 6 years ago, and I have my own paddle. You know, I have multiple paddles, but I use my black daddy. That's what I call it. You're going to put the stick on it, and, yeah, I'm representing Old Spice. So, you know, Old Spice helps me with the swag that I have, and, man, I'm just here to have a good time and go against some of the best athletes in the world and, you know, get that W. I hear a lot of guys talking a little smack, so, you know, I'm going to save it for later on tonight.
He's the one and only Buda Baker. You'll see him at the Battle of the Paddles, the Old Spice and P&G Battle of the Paddles. Of course, next year we'll see him on the field at State Farm. We don't know who his head coach will be, but we know Buda will be bringing the wood to whoever comes across the middle. Buda, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, one and only Buda Baker joined us as he switches out headsets. Former NFL MVP Sean Alexander will join us in one moment.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Yeah, we mentioned Sean Alexander, former NFL MVP, and what was it, 05, where he had 27 rushing touchdowns? 05?
05.
05. Was there one rushing touchdown that you remember above the others?
Yeah, the 88-yarder against the Cardinals in this stadium.
He had, and you tell him for wrong, Dan's obviously like resident Seahawks
fan. He's feeling it.
Like, legit. And grew up in Wisconsin. Doesn't like the Packers.
Yeah. Dave Craig was near from my hometown.
Oh, okay. So they met him when he was young, that sort of thing.
They
but gigantic
it, okay.
Seahawks fan, right? So I throw out, like, Warren Moon used to, when he played for the Seahawks, the ball felt longer.
Yeah.
When he threw a ball, it was like such a laser's longer. And when you would run, it felt like you weren't running hard. Was it a long stride? Like, what was the kind of secret to your ability to cover so much ground without, at least visually, it didn't look like you exerted that much effort?
Yeah, and I actually know what you're saying. I've got a 11-year-old son. He just turned 12, Justice, and I'm watching him. And I'm like, dude, are you playing hard? And he's killing kids. I mean, destroying people. And I'm like, are you mad?
It's not Sean Alexander's son.
I realized, like, oh, my gosh, like, that's why. You
know, he is
family talk. That's why, like, I kind of feel like I'm underappreciated.
Yeah.
It looks like I'm chilling. And I'm like, what are you? Hey, he scored 3 touchdowns. So I guess it, you know what I mean?
It's I think there's a lot of things to you. Like, when you were at Alabama, and you don't know this, but I visited at basketball. I visited Alabama when you were playing there.
Yeah.
And you guys weren't great. Right?
Yeah.
So you didn't get the adulation of all the rest of the Alabama backs. So I think that's part of it. In Seattle, it was before the Seahawks. You obviously had the Super Bowl year, but it was before you guys were a thing.
Yeah.
So I think there was some of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I feel that. I feel like when I was at Alabama, it was me and Chris Samuels, my left tackle, but they there was no other offensive, like, we didn't have no, like, receiver that was, or quarterback that was, yeah. You know what I mean? And so, like, you see, like, Alabama's guys now, and it's great, and you can't help but compare that. But I'm like, well, dude, like, we still won the SEC, and we still win it 10 games every year, but it's not over. Not up, so they miss
it. Yeah. I'll give you one more theory. We've never seen a 37 move that fast, because they're usually
37.
Fullbacks.
Oh, so how'd you get number 37?
High school.
I know, but how?
I had a coach that was like, hey, you need to pick a number. When everybody sees it, they're going to think Sean Alexander.
It's true, because I can only think of Larry Centers.
Who's your coach?
Yeah, his name is John Alford. Played college football at Western Kentucky.
And he told you that?
Came right here, yeah. I was like, yeah.
And you picked 37?
It was between 37 and 9, and my brother was a huge Notre Dame fan. So I remember watching, like, Notre Dame games, and Tony Rice was the quarterback.
Yeah, Tony Rice.
And I was like, oh, well, I know a 9. Do I know a 37? I was like, nope. And my goal was, like, to make that number hot.
Well, you definitely, synonymous with numbers, I don't think it made it hot.
Yeah, no, right?
It sold. It was hot.
It was hot.
Hot for Seahawks fan, but I'm saying there's not other guys that are like, man.
I don't know. You get guys that do that now. Like, you know, like, it's different now. Like, guys are like, I'm going to get my own thing. But there's guys that be like, yeah, if I had to pick a number.
Can we all agree the rule change and letting all these guys change whatever they want is a bad rule?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Right?
Yes.
It's terrible.
Yes. It's awful.
Yes. I mean.
You don't have receivers that wear 80s anymore. They all want single digits or the teens.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't dig that. I don't dig that at all. Okay, a bunch of things I want to get to.
Yeah, let's get it.
Let's discuss the running back position.
Yeah.
Because you different. Still have to run the football, but it is different. I mean, like, look, the Eagles run the football a ton. They actually just run with their quarterback a lot, as well as running
and
backs.
Three different running backs.
And three different running backs. There still are great running backs in the league. As a guy, it feels like you're kind of one of the last of the Mohicans of guys that was a give him the ball 30 times a game.
Yeah.
And your team and figure it out. What's it like for you to see what's happened to your position?
Yeah, it feels bittersweet. I feel like it's trickled all the way down to high school. So because every team has kind of got the fun and gun swinging running backs, so now receivers are trying to play running. Everybody's trying to be Debo, who is really a running back. But anyway, so everybody's trying to do that. So now running backs would get 12 to 15 carries, and that's considered your horse. And you're like, what? They're just getting warmed up. So because of that, it's trickled down so many that no guys are, like, really preparing themselves. Like, you got to train differently when you know you're like, I'm going to get the ball 25 times a game and 35 in the big games. You just think differently. You know, you think, oh, man, this is going to be like this. It's like that Rocky versus the Russian kind of training I've got to go to the whole year.
Did you see this coming with Russ?
I'm not really worried about Russ. I feel like he's going to play better. Well, I mean, you get Coach Payton, so he's going to be better. But I just think that whenever you're in a new system, there's always this, you know, how you laugh, how you point, how you think. Everybody loves your gifts, and everybody hates your quirks, but you kind of get comfortable with them. And so that's how Seattle worked. And so you get the new coach in, and he's trying to figure them out. I said the biggest problem, even though I'm still cheering for Seattle, was when they kicked that long field goal the first game of the season. Well, you just go for that simply because you paid a quarterback that much money. You can't let the hero of your first game be a 60-yard field goal. It's got to be, we gave the ball to our quarterback, and he stuck it, and he won the game. Or we stuck it, we barely missed, but we're going to ride or die with this guy. And it carries a psyche that football's way more mental, you know what I mean? And it jacked up the psyche for the team.
You were part of that, not only when you won the MVP, you're part of the Super Bowl team.
Yep.
And I brought up that game because, and I'm not a Bengal fan.
Yeah.
I just felt, man, they were on the short side of several calls.
Yeah.
Even the last one, which I understand he pushed him when he's out of bounds, but, like, why? It's so close. Why are you calling it there? Didn't hit him out of bounds. You were on that Seahawks team against the Steelers.
Yeah.
And forgive me if I'm wrong, but that was the Super Bowl that I remember as, man, it felt like the Seahawks were getting screwed.
Yeah.
What was that like to be a part of?
Yeah, that game was definitely weird, and I'm not a person that, like, makes excuses, but
sure.
it was one of those, like, dang, this is weird. And I realized, like, that was, like, the one and only time we've ever done this where we made the referees be like that was their all-star game. And so all the referees, the best guy that scored this one, the best back judge, the best front, the best. And so they put them all together. So they were just missing things that a normal team, you know, I mean, if you're looking at the line, and I'm always looking at backfield, and I know that I'm going to catch stuff that could be possibly, quote unquote, your job, but we're a team, then we get it. But when you get an all-star team, you miss those. And so everybody, all the referees, instead of paying back the way they do, you know, like, hey, I'll let you go the next time. You know what I mean? That's the way it happens. That's like the gentlemanship, because people are flawed, you know? Well, the guy holds this time, he calls it. Oh, man, I might not have been a hold. I won't call it next time. Well,
the next time the other guy calls it.
Right, but here's the problem. No, they didn't call it. So when Steelers were holding, they didn't call it. Oh, I need to make up that Seahawks hold. They call it. We're losing in both situations. And they did it with pass interference. Remember D-Jack beginning game?
Yes.
Bumps.
For sure.
Hines Ward throws our corner on the ground, catches it, gets a first down. We're like, oh, look, are you going to call
Locklear's
it?
Hold. Yeah. Ben at the goal line.
It's crazy.
Hasselbeck's trip.
14-10. Jeremy Stevens catches it at the 1 yard line. They call holding on a guard.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. We win the Super Bowl 17-14. And what usually happened is we would score. I'd score the touchdown. We'd run the ball. You're going to run 17 G lead. I'm going to score. You know what I mean? And now we're up 17-14. Steelers would try it. It didn't work. And I break another long run. That's how we used to beat teams. And that game would have been like 24-14.
Is the Madden curse real? Because the way I remember was you were on the cover and then you broke your foot.
Yeah, that's,
and that was like the beginning of all the Madden curse. Did you go like, I should have done the Madden cover?
No. Oh, there's 32 quarterbacks, 32 running backs, 64 guys, 50 of them don't play. They don't play every game. You know what I mean? Like, that's just football, you know? You know, the truth is this guy that had 5 years of 15 touchdowns and thousands of yards every year, but turned 31 and a big fat lineman fell on his foot, you know, and he broke it. So, like, that's just football.
Could be the Madden curse.
Could be.
Could be.
It could be.
I got one for you. Oh, I think Mike Holmgren is so underappreciated.
Yeah.
We talk Hall of Fame, and I know he's up, you know, at times he's up for it, but he's not, hasn't made it. What was it like playing for him? For two reasons. He took Favre young and then made him Favre, then goes to Seattle, and then brings Hasselbeck over, has Matt Young, and then you guys then transition. And I don't think enough praise goes to him. What was it like playing for Mike Holmgren?
I think he was a genius. I mean, so you gave me, he's Bill Walsh's prodigy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's the offensive
coordinator.
Gave
you the ball.
Calling out, calling all the plays.
Give me the ball. I'm kidding.
But he did. He called Montana. He called Young. He goes there, gets his own team, gets Brett Favre, wins Super Bowls with them, comes to Seattle. And Matt's my boy. So I would say, it's like, well, Matt's not Favre, Montana, or Young. But what's he do? He says, I'm going to shift the ball. And now I'm going to run the ball with Sean Alexander, and we go smash people just the way they did in Green Bay. Like, they were always score right before the half, score. Matt would come around, boom, boom, throw the deep ball. We get in short yards. We run 4 minute or 6 minute offense the last 6 minutes of games, and we knock people out. Coach Holmgren was a brilliant person because he put the guys on the field to go make the plays. It worked.
Walter Jones, give me your best Walter Jones story.
I mean, Walt would take people that thought they were good, and they would tackle me 10 yards down the field and be like, got him. It was cool, man. Between Walt and Hutch, you know, and I always want to give them, like, such great praise. They would dominate two guys, and, like, they would dominate in such a way that all the other guys, so there's nine other guys that still got to make a tackle, so it's still the NFL. But I would be able to play the game of, like, you know, the kid running behind the table. I would make people, I would know there'd be such a push that I could actually have linebackers have to bubble, or and I could slide on out, or I would stand like I am, boom, plant, they're bubbling, and I'd cut back. And so when you got them guys, like, I'm running people into other people, and what happened is teams started, no one started running over, so they would all stay on play side, and I would run to the left and cut it back, and they'd all, by the end of the game, I could run straight down the field right behind them, and they'd be like, look like they were just untouched. And a little bit of it is because Walt and Hutch were awesome. Max Strong was a great fullback.
Max Strong.
And then a great fullback name.
Oh, great fullback name.
But they would never be able to go and be able to play it because they always had to guard the cutback, and we just mashed teams. It was awesome.
Just mashed teams. I know football and faith are two things that come together in something that is really a good push in your life.
Yeah.
For this version of your life.
Yeah.
What are you involved in?
So I actually started, it must have been like 10, 11 years ago when Roger first became the commissioner and I was retired. He said, hey, Sean, what you doing now? And I said, yeah, I mentor a couple of Bama guys, you know, a couple of guys in the league. So what are you doing? I said, well, I didn't have a name for it now, but he said, if you put it on paper, we would need it. And I said, yeah. So I developed the PLP, the Professional Leadership Program. And it's really just teaching guys how to master the five Fs: fame, family, friends, finances, and their future. And fame is really about identity. Who are you really? What you really about? What do you really want to happen? And then we teach people how to brand that. But then family is about responsibility and accountability. Like, who's responsible for y'all, your mom and dad? Who are you responsible for? All your kids? And we get to help, like, get guys to make healthy decisions, have healthy relationships. And then friends is like the ecosystem. Like, I just saw like my old marketing guy from all my years in Seattle and all the EA Sports and all that. But what happens is I think the ESPN 030 for 30 said about 78% are going to be broke in 2 years after they retire. And they're like, oh, let's throw a financial program at them. And I'm like, look, if you got a person believing that it's their responsibility to pay for everybody they grew up with, and, you know, most people know my story, but my dad had 9 kids from 4 different women. You know what I mean? If it's my job to pay for everybody I grew up with, I'm going to be broke. But to get healthy and be like, oh, no, like, everybody's still making decisions, and it's okay. And, hey, I can't give you a new house. Maybe I can give you $1,000 and help you with this. Oh, man, and I might pay for dinner once, but I'm not going to pay for dinner every time. That's just being healthy. Like, no one would expect that out of a regular person. And so by walking people through those five Fs, I can finally get them to the fifth F, which is the future. And I can talk about leaving a real legacy, being a community influencer. And I partnered with a great group called Stand Together Foundation. It's about 700 of the most successful businessmen, women, and philanthropic leaders in the country. And they put their money and their wisdom behind helping anybody that's going to impact the country. And so they helped me with a group called Cafe Momentum, which is it's a restaurant, but they take kids into juvie. And instead of them kids becoming throwaways, which 50% is recidivism in Dallas, they go through the program and they have, like, I call them aunties, uncles, the social workers, sure, community. They help all these kids get an identity, know that they're important, and it's got 11% recidivism. And I said, hey, let's call the NFL. We called Inspire Change, and Roger and Troy and Tracy was like, let's put one in every NFL city. And so the goal is like, man, like, listen, what happens if the whole world thinks that no one's a throwaway? And we're seeing some great things. So we'll open up in Nashville and Pittsburgh next. So that'll be the next year. And then we'll have 5 other places.
Go to Sean Alexander. Remember, that's S-H-A-U-N, SeanAlexander.com, for more information. Sean, absolute pleasure to catch up with you. Go down memory lane.
Yeah.
Especially for our guy buyer right here.
The Hawks.
And appreciate you, joining.
Brother, this is good, y'all, man. Thank you all for having me.
I appreciate
you.
Yeah. We're going to do more Sunday stuff, man. In sports, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57.
There's two kinds of people in the world: people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.